Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, 3 o'clock. Ted Johnson not here, but he is listening. He offered an update on Fitzy's request, and he is willing to pick up some alcoholic beverages in the group.
Packy run!
So whatever you want, Fitzy, put it in the group text, and he'll try to help you out. But it is 3 o'clock in terms of time for Dan Ball's favorite segment, because he gets to tell me to shut up and take over, three-point stance.
Green 19!
Ready!
19!
Green 19, shut up!
Yeah, there you go!
What's up? Shut up!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
See, I can tell you to be quiet as many times as I want. It's if you listen.
What are you, my elementary school teacher?
Usually. It is time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, and that is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Here's what you do. You call all sevens at 617-777-7777.
It actually just hit me, like, all those teachers in elementary school and middle school who say, talks too much, talks too much, talks too much.
Nailed it.
I was on a career path. I was prepping.
Yeah.
I was show prep way back then. It's like a vocational school. Some do plumbing, some do electrical. I talk.
So is that actually, was that actually like the mark that you got from teachers?
Oh, everything. Like I got great grades. Teachers love me, but the bad was always talks too much, talks too
Same
much.
Same boat, You Andy. Don't say.
And we're all in radio, so
about
we were
that?
Prepping.
My kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Brady, said to my mother the first time that she met with her back at Archie T. Morrison School in Braintree, Massachusetts. My mom was like, So what do you have to say? And Mrs. Brady said, well, he does have a lot to offer. Vis-a-vis, shut up.
I think that, did you have talks too much on any of yours?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So we all ended up in radio, so they should have seen that we were
and
on
Stiz,
a path.
And Stiz's was, what is this?
I got class clown a lot.
Yeah,
class clown.
Makes Stiz, Stanley, young man, that makes so much sense.
They always used to tell me that you'd be a politician someday.
Somewhere Ted is saying, say, Dan, take this over. It's three-point stance time.
Hurry up. Get this back. Get this train back on the track, buddy.
I know this will blow your mind. I got a little bit of teacher's pet, too. But that was just
I can see
that.
Yeah.
Dan.
I can see that. Yeah. You
Coming
seem
in with
that.
A shiny Macintosh Apple.
He still plays.
You know, Mrs. Anderson.
Hey, and it worked.
Hey,
it worked.
Ken, do the cameras look okay? I unplugged them and plugged them back in for you.
And then she'd be like, Daniel, why don't you come meet me after class? Oh. I didn't do anything wrong.
All
did
right,
I?
On we go, on we go. It's time for today's 3-point stance. Three hosts giving their stances on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports and sometimes beyond. Each host will receive 60 seconds or thereabouts to present their opening stance on their story of the day. And after those 60 seconds have gone by, we will open up for debate on each of those. Our order today is Andy Hart, the Nick Fitzy Stevens, then myself, Dan Ball, with the accompaniment of Stiz Bruno. Andy, you will lead us off, as you often do. Are you ready?
I am.
Okay, that would imply that somebody may not be, but I'm going to throw 60 seconds on the clock anyways, and we'll see how this goes. Go ahead.
Stiz, hit it. I know some Celtics fans, Boston sports fans, get annoyed when other teams' fans do the whole "we want Boston" chant and yep. "you got Boston" t-shirts and all those things in retort and like, when are they ever going to learn their lesson? I don't want them to learn their lesson. I think this adds juice. And I'm a little bit worried about this Knicks series in terms of juice. You had the Magic series where the Celtics were sort of punched in the mouth, literally and figuratively, responded. We loved what we saw. Tatum was different. Hal Horford was different. They were feisty. And now it's like, yeah, they're going to sweep the Knicks. It might go five. We blew them out all year. Sure, they were built for us, but they can't get the job done. I want a little buzz. I like the New York-Boston rivalry, obviously. I also like when these teams, they should think they have a chance. It's like Ted Johnson on draft night. It's about hope. You just advanced. It's 0-0. So until you actually suck and get blown out by the Celtics, you should believe you're going to beat the Celtics. So keep chanting, New York fans. After that, I want Cleveland fans chanting. I know OKC fans will be chanting because they got a legit shot to win, but I love that that might bring a little buzz to this series, so keep chanting down in New York.
I'm going to tell you straight up, we'll get into it a little bit more after all 3-point stances have been delivered. I am ready. I want, I need, I have a lust for a rekindling of Boston versus New York. We have not had it for a while, and I want it. I need it. Let's go.
We really haven't. There hasn't been football in quite a while.
No, the closest thing is like Patriots pick fourth, Jets pick seventh.
Right.
It's like that's.
See, look at
these. Red Sox, Yankees.
Andy, do you know these folks, or are they just like, look at this curiously short man hosting the radio show?
Hey. Why is it always about.
I don't know. You busted my balls earlier.
But as we said with Alex Cora the other day, maybe we're trending towards Celtics. Well, we know we're trending towards Celtics-Knicks, but Red Sox-Yankees, we're going to be trending towards some interesting games being played. Yeah. Rob Manfred will be happy that the AL East comes down to that. So
it should, and I got to tell you, I don't like how supreme. I like confidence, but I don't like how overconfident it seems most Boston fans are.
Yeah, yeah. We were kind of drinking that Kool-Aid about this team at the beginning of the year.
No, but even now, like I keep hearing, sweep, sweep, sweep. Like,
oh, yeah. I'll be disappointed if they don't sweep the Knicks.
You will be.
I will be. I'll be a very disappointed teacher.
I wouldn't.
I thought you were better than that.
I could see the Knickerbockers getting one, if not two. All right, more on that later.
Yes.
I think we'll play defense on Brunson. When the game-winning shot is happening, I don't think we'll fall down and fall 12 feet from him and say, here, take the easiest open game-winning shot you'll ever hit in the entirety of your career.
Why? You don't think that a 6-foot difference between Brunson and the defender is not enough? It's too much.
I know in the NBA they mark those threes, like how close the defender is. What if the guy breaks his ankles, falls down, and is 12 feet away? Like, which category does that fall under?
What if the guy's being embarrassed by the trainer?
And that's going to be their best option, right? The coach was like, listen, you're going to be on Brunson. We know he's going to dribble around
and
take
on the
shot.
Line. Yeah.
Stay with him. Don't fall down like you're Bill Buckner trying to field a ground ball in the 86 series.
What will there be more of, games in the series or hairs across Tibbs' head? Can he just shave those off and go bald now?
I mean,
Andy, 6 hairs across the top. What are we doing, Tibbs?
That's not nice. Okay, Dan.
It's a signature look. All right, Fitzy.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I guess.
All right. Well, your 60 seconds, they start right now.
All right. Disappointing week for Red Sox Nation, Sox fans, Alex Cora, Alex Bregman, anybody named Alex are involving the Red Sox because they blew not one but two games back-to-back up in Toronto. Yes, the bullpen obviously had their issues. The starting pitching has been coming through beyond expectations. But as Andy Hart pointed out earlier in today's program, you know who didn't come through in the clutch? The offense. Sure, they put up enough runs in at least one of those games where you would have thought they would have won because they had 6 runs and they were up 6-0. And yeah, I know Giolito and Whitlock happened. But At this point now, with the injuries that are starting to quickly pile up with the team, Walker Buehler's shoulder hurts, Christian Campbell's rib hurts, other guys are starting to pick up that 35-40 game mark, nicks and dings. We need to turn a corner. We need to call up reinforcements. And I hate to say it, it can't be Duke Nukem. It can't be Nathan Hickey or Tyler McDonough or Trace Thompson or Blake Sable or anybody else that nobody, or Nick Sogard or someone else no one else cares about in Worcester. Alex, it is time to make the call. Roman Anthony, OBP of 950. Marcelo Meyer, 7 home runs, 34 ribeyes. Make the call. Turn the corner. Bring up one of the kids and let's ignite this season.
That fired me up.
I'm ready. Let's go. Enough.
Shut off your reasoning.
Why?
First of all, you called out Alex. It's not his decision.
I want him to go to Brez and say, Brez, I need one of these guys. Let's go. I need one of the kids. Okay,
and then Brez will give Marcelo 5,000 words on why we can't. Alex, the way you need to look at this.
It's time served, and we're starting the clock on the kids. And Marcelo Meyer right now in 25 games, 100 at-bats, 7 home runs, 34 ribeyes, 270 average, OBP 330, 844 OPS. Even more impressive, Roman Anthony in those same 25 games, 93 at-bats, 5 dingers, 15 RBI. Okay, 22 walks, Andy, for a 950 OPS.
Who do you want to not play?
It may sort itself out if Christian Campbell ends up having to take a quick trip to the IL.
So we'll see.
You want David, soreness. You want David Hamilton time?
He plays one game a week.
He's batting .0.
You're not going to play Marcelo Meyer one game a week. If you're bringing him up, he plays virtually every day. So, therefore, who is not playing for those guys to play?
These are their decisions.
Rafael
they get paid
out of the lineup?
Tough decisions.
Who's out of the lineup?
Might be Rafael time.
Okay.
Or maybe it's Abreu time. What's he batting ever since he went crazy the first week of the season?
It's gone downward, but he's still not terrible. Although, last night, whoo, did you see that? I don't know. It wasn't an error, I guess.
It wasn't because he didn't touch it somehow.
He did what Vachon did the other day, except never caught the ball after falling down like a fat
Abreu has 6 dingers and 21 ribeye. Nice 929 OPS. Batting .283. So the numbers are great. But
so you're going to bench him Anthony.
A lot of that is padded.
They all count.
The last 15 games, mm-hmm. Nick Fitzy-Stevens?
Yes.
.212.
See?
Is your batting average.
So is that the answer? Your gold glove right fielder, who was the best player in baseball to start the season, you're going to...
Over the last week, has he been the best player in baseball?
Oh, so now we're making decisions based on 1 week sample
sometimes
sizes.
We do. Sometimes we make them on 1 game sample sizes. Sometimes
that
we make it on
seems
injuries.
Like a bad idea.
I am ready for it's Meyer time. It's and not Miller time. No, you were going to say that. I know. I speak
always
hard.
Miller time.
I know. It is Meyer time.
12 o'clock somewhere.
It's and I like him. I think he brings a ton of value as a gold glove center fielder, maybe platinum glove center fielder. I think he hit it. It's Roman Anthony and it's Rafael.
Well, you guys, you're still circling around.
What?
It's very simple.
What?
I've told you a million times.
Roman Anthony at first.
Story, Rafaela, and a prospect for Mason Miller. It literally fixes every problem. You get your two best minor leaguers into the big leagues. You get a closer. So you know what that does? Because where have they been having problems? Not closer, right?
Justin Slayton.
If Mason Miller's your closer, who's your setup man?
Oh, it's Aroldis Chapman.
It's 103 mile an hour Chapman. And then who bumps down from there?
Wait.
Slayton and Whitlock. The bullpen is better. The lineup is better. The only thing that loses out in this scenario is Worcester, because now they don't have super.
So what? They're a AAA team. I don't worry about
this.
I'm
makes too
about
much
that
sense.
At all.
Yeah.
Now,
and I don't care about starting the clock on now. So what? Well, maybe.
Well, the clock thing is sort of dated now. I read a very confusing story the other day.
If it was about baseball stats, it was confusing.
They updated that in the last CBA, so the clock thing doesn't really matter anymore. If the guy's really good and goes on to be a candidate for Rookie of the Year, MVP, is an all-star.
Yeah, there's incentives.
It actually
there's
doesn't
incentives
hurt.
Not
They're
to
incentivized
it.
Yeah. to not manipulate it, to get his ass in the big leagues and let him start winning awards and go into all-star games. So the only issue we have here, it's so simple. You need to drug the A's GM and get him to trade you Mason Miller.
You might have missed the window on Story, though. He has gone ice cold.
Yeah, it hasn't been great, no. Yeah.
He's on about a 2-for-40 stretch the last week or two. That's a rough guess.
2-for-40?
It's not that far from the truth.
I'm telling you, Mason Miller is the answer to all the problems.
There's got
to
be another team that has a closer or an arm. You may also need to look into some starters pretty soon. But we'll see how old Dickey feels.
You're getting some back. You're losing some.
I think you'll see Dobbins tomorrow. There is a...
Hunta!
There is a TBD because they had to slide Bayo up today. So I'd like to see Hunter Dobbins come up, pitch tomorrow, and then not go back down. And I don't know what that looks
like. Rule it out.
I don't know what that looks like. That was the also. This is a Red Sox point on an aside, but it's so frustrating Ooh. That you wasted a great debut for Lucas Giolito.
Yep.
I think compared Tremendous to expectation, debut. First Tremendous. Time since he has Walker Buehler like stats. It's the first time since midway through 2023 that he went six innings in a start, that kind of thing. So you wasted that, and then you wasted a Tanner Houck start that, I don't know about you guys, it gave me hope.
It was awesome. He yeah. was throwing harder. Both, I had the great pleasure of listening to Will Fleming on the drive home.
Company
and then
man.
Listening to the Nesson broadcast, and both referenced how pregame there was a different air and anger and tone to Tanner Houck.
Like a focus, and yes. there was a pop on the fastball.
And it worked.
Yeah.
And it worked. But even though he feels good about his performance, you kind of let the air out of the balloon. Like, that needs to be a win. He needs yeah. to feel good about himself and the team. And I put the team on my back, and then that led to a victory. So you lost some of that. It is. It's frustrating, but that's why 162.
But for
long season.
But for a team full of such promise and potential like these Red Sox, with Duran scratching the surface of his powers, Rafaela, Abreu, etc., and, hey, there's Bregman and Casas. Will he finally break out? Just if that's what this season is about like really firmly establishing who your keepers are for the next 5 years, then get them up and start the clock. Let's see the future now. I think everybody would love, like, Roman Anthony, that first home run, I hope somebody yells overrated so he can mimic that moment all over again.
I just think benching Rafaela may not be the best long-term interest.
Then he or Abreu.
Then your trade value goes.
Either he or Abreu in combo with Trevor Story probably needs to be part. Did you like that fart sound effect, Dan?
I just, I like the analysis. When I really know Andy's getting to his true intellectual peak.
He's like, he's the Ken Rosenthal of fart sound.
Oh, you're giving myself an A, bro.
Yeah. By the way, Dan, you're right. It's that 2-for-40 thing is really kind of dragging Trevor Story down. He was hitting 308 or 309 like early last week. It's down to 260.
Yeah. Okay. He is what we thought he was, unfortunately. Which
well, that's
is still
not true
better.
Because he's still healthy and playing. Because most people are like, he'll be gone by May 1st or by May 5th when he's on the IL.
Well, is it May 5th yet?
No.
Well, then why don't you Cinco to pipe down, O?
Some said Memorial Day. That's also a group that still has the opportunity to be quote-unquote right. Okay, Dimbo.
This is also Colorado Trevor Story, for what it's worth. We're finally seeing it on year, what's this, four of the contract now?
Four.
It's wildly
fourth year.
Yeah. Wildly inconsistent, best player in baseball, worst player in baseball, all in the same one. Okay, I will quickly present my 3 points.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
All right, your 60 seconds begins now.
Wow, that is really annoying. I hear it now.
Yep. Even worse with your voice.
I've been, most things are. I've been following along with the NBA playoffs, and you bringing up LeBron James yesterday made me want to take a deeper look at the Los Angeles Lakers and the way that they tried to set up their franchise for what they believe was going to be success, which is giving LeBron James the key to the castle. I know that they have general managers and presidents of basketball operations and all these guys with these big corner offices and these shiny titles. It's LeBron James's team. And that, for me, is never the right way to set up a franchise for success. There has to be an order of operations to where your front office personnel is responsible for hiring the coach, who is then responsible for coaching the players and putting them in the best situation to succeed. The way to do it is not hiring your podcast buddy of LeBron James and J.J. Redick, a guy that was so riled up before an elimination game that Reggie Miller, a broadcaster, had to go and calm him down. I think the Lakers made a mess of this by giving LeBron James too much control in how they structured their franchise, and they are sitting in it versus a team like the Celtics that has a structured front office coach down to the players are reaping the benefits from that.
Oh, you're such a homer. The Celtics do it the right way.
Well, they do. They
also
do.
Could be just the fact that he's an aging underachiever at this point in his career. We talked about it the other day, 2-12 in his last 14 playoff games. And then finger pointing. I mean, it's all. Did you listen to some of his comments? Well, AD wanted a center and they got his ass out of town, basically.
Yeah. How about that?
So you're pointing fingers now. So you don't like Luka. And then speaking of the finger pointing, yeah, J.J. Redick say we need to get in championship shape. Oh, I wonder who he's talking to. Luca, I think he's talking to you. I would get my ass out of there so fast if I were Luca.
I need that recovery beer.
Now, I know it's like they'll offer him a boatload of money, but you lose the Supermax because he's not with Dallas anymore. I find a better spot. Find a better spot.
You think
spot.
He's going to want to go out? All right, let's just real quick while we have this, let's predict where we think Luca and Giannis are going to be playing professional basketball next season?
Boston.
Yeah? Both of them?
No. Wiggy said Giannis was coming to Boston. I want no part of Giannis. I would consider part of Luka. Luka would intrigue me. I'd trade JB for Luka. I would not trade JB for Giannis. Could Tatum and Luka coexist? Probably not.
I don't think. No. Luka is not stock that
we'd have
I
to petition
to,
the league. We're actually going to play with two basketballs, so both guys get to dribble the ball into the floor at all times before we shoot. Only one can shoot, but we get two balls to play with. Pause. 617-779-7937. We see your phone calls lining up. Stick around. We'll take your calls in just a little bit. But we have a very, 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 three very special guest joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. He's got all the answers. Why does the bullpen blow? Why can they continue to strike out and lose games at an alarming rate? And will they be able to make my trade for Mason Miller happen at some point? The dream is on. Lou Maloney here on WEEI Afternoons. That's up next.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Yeah, it's just a completely different. There's no more hope.
Why do you even care?
Doesn't it sometimes just come down to cut that out. Did I just drop an F-bomb right there?
Lou Maloney knows there's nothing wrong with an F-bomb. I dropped one yesterday in the first 5 minutes of the show. Learned a lesson. A little red button. Jeez, the guy leaves the radio booth for like a month, and he doesn't know you got to push the red button to
get
on the air.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Nesson analyst Lou Maloney, who I don't think is angry Lou anymore. I'm not sure he's happy Lou. I think he's a little more stable Lou. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's kind of like I didn't go on this last road trip.
Yeah.
So I sat home and just sort of watched the whole thing unfold, 3-3.
We needed you.
Wondering how the hell did they not win five?
Yeah.
Right? Like five.
Yeah.
Maybe six of those games.
What do you mean? So when you're up 6-0 in the sixth, you should win?
Yeah, you know, and when I'm doing it every day, it's almost like I've taken the mentality of playing again.
Yeah.
Like, the game is over. I'm pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, how did that happen? Ride home, and then you get home, and you're like, okay, there's another one tomorrow. Wake up, and who's pitching, and go back to work. And that's what they do. And I think I was tweeting about the other day, like, the emotional roller coaster of a fan, you can't do that as a player. You know, everyone's just losing their mind over one game. It's one game, and the next day it's like, no, it's a tough loss, brutal loss. Jump on a flight, get back here to Fenway, and try to take 2 out of 3. And it's like, well, that's a loser mentality. It's like, well, that's the only mentality you can have in baseball. I don't know what else to tell you.
You can't control the past. Sorry, you've got the now and the immediate future. And I'm kind of curious, going from being in here on a regular basis, watching the games on TV, calling a few on the radio versus now being the big TV star and seeing him from a different perspective.
See that hair slicked back?
No,
good.
Did he not walk in?
Damn.
And he's like, Mike Giardi, eat your heart out.
Yeah.
Second handsomest man in all of Boston sports.
No grays? That's
going after I got it right here.
Well, you got the grays on the beard, but that's distinguished.
Yeah.
So, but what are you, Lou, what are you noticing? Like, you must, now that you're like watching it from that perspective every day and having to provide a different level of analysis than you did in here, chopping it up with you, me, Fourier, et cetera. What are you noticing about the team now? Like, what's
different than the Jobs kind of thing?
Yeah.
I think I know more now.
Yeah.
Cut that, Stiz.
No, I'm just saying, like, I know more now. I'm just like, I'm around there all the time. So like, I'm talking to the players, I'm talking to the coaches, I'm talking to managers. There's a lot of weird decisions. So sometimes even me, I'm sitting there going, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we doing that? And then you get the answer and you're like, okay, when you're doing this every day, there's still communication, but you're not in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you get some of the answers of why things are done. So it forms, you know, so now you have an opinion and you got your hot take and you're running with it. And then you sort of find out what the answer is and you're like, oh, okay. Well, whatever. It was a good take anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel like I hear a lot, you know, and I just like, well, it's like, I know the answer to this.
You're privy
it's
to
a big
more
story,
information
but it's
now.
Not, you know what I mean? So it's just, that's a big difference. Listen, sports radio, we know, like I did it for many years, 15 years where it's, yeah, there would have been some opinions on steroids.
You
know what I mean? Like, you're never good. You're never okay. You either suck or you're really good. You're going to win it all. So
right.
It's sort of, I get it. But for me, it's just different now. You know, I'm there every day, and I kind of, like I said, have more info, I guess.
So you have all the answers?
No, I don't have that.
So there's...
just got more answers.
There's
more
an answer I need.
Yeah.
So we remember that old theory with Rex Ryan? He used to be like, if you run the ball 30 times, you win the game.
Yes.
And everybody was like, well, why don't you just run it 30 straight plays, and you'll win the game? This is a little similar to me, but... when the Red Sox strike out 10-plus times, they're 5-13.
Yeah.
When they strike out fewer than 10 times, they're 12-3.
Yeah.
Shouldn't they stop striking out so much?
Yes.
How do they go about doing that?
Well, I tell you, when they went on that little run where they weren't, because I remember I was talking to Pete Fatsy, the hitting coach, and he was like,
brag.
He knows more now.
More information, right?
Hey, Fatsy.
Obviously, no one's trying to strike out more. Nobody wants to strike out. And he was the problem they were having was pre-2-strike decisions. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like how are we, we're striking out a lot. How are we even getting to 2 strikes? Why are we even at 2 strikes so often?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, a lot of it is maybe lack of aggressiveness, taking the first strike, expanding the zone, making bad swing decisions early in counts, and constantly being 0-2, 1-2. And when you're that in this league, you usually get buried. Could they make more contact? Yes. Would I like to see them make more contact with 2? Yes. There is approach issues, right? Like, are we using the whole field? All that sort of stuff. But when they're good at it, like Trevor Story, for example, when he's swinging well,
yep,
he is getting a pitch to hit and he's putting in play, right? And he's not expanding, you know, swinging a miss on a fastball up or swinging a miss on a slider down away early in counts.
Mm-hmm.
When he's going well, he gets a fastball down, he hits a line drive in the middle, the at-bat's over. There's no opportunity to strike out. When you're going bad, and I don't know, it's like 3-for-33 now or 3-for-36, you foul off the pitch you're putting in play. Now it's 0-1. You know, now you swing at the slider. So it's like, how are we getting there? That's been their biggest problem with striking out.
Okay. Well, I mean, I get that. And, you know, you could fill the oceans with what I don't know about this drive line approach or like the whole philosophy behind the offense. But I was opining earlier that I feel like this season to me is about being a good baseball team and trying to chase a playoff spot. Of course, that's goal number one. But they're sort of caught in between. The future starts now, but wait, hold on. We can't start the entirety of the future. We have some of the future starting now.
I agree.
And we're holding some of it at bay, you know, a couple dozen miles down I-90. But now I feel like this team's inconsistencies make me think they need a spark coming down the stretch here in May into Memorial Day. I want the future to start sooner. I want one of these kids called up.
Mm-hmm.
Are you for that, against it, or in wait and see mode?
Well, I think Marcel's got a little injury again, right? The back, he missed yesterday, got scratched, so we got to wait and see. That's been a concern. He's been fantastic in the minors. He just can't
outstanding
stay healthy, right?
International League Player of the Week last week.
And he was one of the better players in Double-A last year before he got hurt and missed the last, whatever it was, 60 games. So Roman Anthony, I think, is the one, right? And everyone's talking about what are you going to do? To me, it's like, that's why all eyes have been on Sadon. You know, and right. I remember the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season, a couple of weeks, I was like, well, another 2 or 3 weeks? Like, how long do you go, right? Like, what? And, you know, unfortunately for the Roman Anthony people, the last 3 weeks, he's kind of like 280, hitting bombs, stealing bags, and the defense is fantastic. So it's like, I don't know if they just force a move with that. They could make it today. I have no idea. But I do think it's coming. I do, you know, and they always say these things can work themselves out. There hasn't been an injury to open it up. But I know this. When he comes up, he's coming up for good. That has been expressed many times to me and to others. So if let's just say someone goes down and misses 3 games and they call up somebody, I don't think it's him because of that reason. When they call him up, it wants to be for good.
I mean, he's patient at the plate, Andy.
Yeah, he's everything. You
know, 22 walks in a month.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to see him, but it's like where and how. Where and how and what door are you closing? Are you closing the door? If you just bench Rafaela and say Roman Anthony's playing center. Well, you sign this guy to a long-term extension. Like, what's your future of Rafaela? Like, how do you use it? That's why I keep I know you listen every day.
Yeah,
every day.
P1.
So I keep dreaming of some scenario because he seems like Rafaela. I'm talking about good defensive player, some offense, athleticism, cost controlled. He seems like a tradable chip, especially if you kind of sell high when he's playing well. He feels like the guy that could be in a deal. Mason Miller's the name I like to throw out there because I dream of getting Mason Miller. Send Rafaela, send Abreu, send a prospect to the A's to get me Mason Miller because then Chapman is your setup guy. Now your setup guys named Whitlock and Slayton are even pushed down. Even like You become, and Roman Anthony now takes over in center field. Is that not the perfect scenario for the Boston Red Sox?
Well, I mean, listen, getting Mason Miller to me is, yeah, like a perfect scenario.
Two guys that throw 103.
Yeah, I think it's going to take a lot to get him because of how much time he has left.
Yeah.
Like control. First off, I think Roman Anthony will be in left. I think Duran's in center.
Okay.
I'll take that.
Yeah. To me, I look at Roman Anthony and it's like, we need it. I get it. And someone's like, you know, he's wasting time down there. He's 20. Let's just say worst case scenario.
You know who else was 20?
Who?
When they started their career.
Who's that?
Jordan.
Yeah.
Proceed, sorry.
No, I'm just saying like worst case scenario, the kid never comes up, yep. Which I don't even see happening. The offseason, you clear a space, he's your starting outfielder next year. Like it's not god awful for a 20-year-old to spend a season in AAA, even though I don't think it's going to happen. But until they need him, I don't see it happening.
But is there a difference between those two? Because there was a little hint. Marcelo Meyer talked to Jones and Keefe.
Yeah.
Opening day, Worcester, and made some comments like, I belong in the big leagues.
Yeah.
He said he earned it this
year.
Yes. And he's right. In a weird way.
If you can earn it in spring.
But Campbell didn't earn it. And now he's the best player on the team and like rookie of the year and is just awesome.
Yeah.
But if you just went on the spring, Meyer was better than Campbell.
And yeah, he was.
I feel like that was a bag job. They knew they were giving the contract to Campbell. They wanted him to be the second baseman. Like that was sort of a bag job, you know, operation.
The only thing I would say is that spring training is interesting. Like it matters. It matters to some. It matters. Doesn't matter to all. Right. But
if you're good, it matters. If you're bad, it doesn't.
Well, here's the thing. Like
it's my approach.
We don't ignore like the entire year before. Or the entire 2 years of who the player is because he had two good weeks in camp.
Mm-hmm.
Or three good weeks in camp. You know, like, the player is still the player. If jobs were really won in spring training, Trace Thompson would be your starting center fielder. You know what I mean? And what's he hitting down in AAA?
Right.
I'm just saying, Eaton may be the fourth outfielder. What's he hitting? So it's like, jobs aren't won in camp. Like, and I heard what he said. Like, I earned it with the way I played in camp. I'm like, no, you didn't. You got hurt last year at the end of the year and never played AAA. You got to go to AAA. You got to play that level. You got to hit better against lefties. You got to show that you can control your swing against right breaking balls. Like off speed and lefties, he wasn't very good last year. This year, he is better. He's checked the box. But I don't think that was answered in camp.
Was that a sign, though, of... So with both of these guys, you're like, if they stay the whole year, like you said, Roman Anthony, if he stays the whole year, then you clear a spot in the offseason. He's your starting off.
Certainly don't bury him. He's
but
still
do they
have
get
a
antsy?
Great career.
Like, do they, because that sounded like Marcelo Meyer getting a little antsy. Like, I want to be in the big leagues sooner rather than later. He seems like a guy that if he didn't get to the big leagues this year, he's not really going to like it.
He's going to be disappointed.
Yeah, but I also felt like it was a young kid thinking that if he just played well in camp, he makes the big league team.
Yeah, but isn't that how it usually works?
No.
Because high prospect, that's the other thing. Not everybody is the fourth pick in the draft who could have been the first pick in the draft, right?
Yeah, but like I said,
you get the,
it's not how. But it's
like Will Campbell's going to be the left tackle. He does not have to win the left tackle job.
True.
He is going to be written in Sharpie from day one.
Yeah,
like
because
the top picks usually kind of get promoted.
Yeah, in football, right away. Like top picks in baseball don't even get to the big leagues. You know what I mean? So it's
forever.
Yeah, like I don't think like a guy can come in like that from AA and win a job on the Boston Red Sox, unless Trevor Story got hurt.
Right.
You know, and, you know, we'll see where his season goes. You know, he's a guy that's been hurt a lot, too. But Marcelo's job is to be ready for that injury to Trevor Story, if it happens. And Roman Anthony's job is to be ready in case an injury comes to the outfielder or they make a move because he continues to tear it up. They're doing what they need to do. They're putting pressure on the organization. That's it. But I don't think anyone's screwing them.
The mayor of Framingham, Nesson baseball analyst, and of course, WEEI favorite, Lou Merlone in here in his former spot, WEEI Afternoons.
You like
it? Good. It's actually nice.
It's very nice.
Look at they painted the walls.
Yes. Right?
And the second 2 hours when people start lining up and flipping us the bird and doing all those.
You know, Keith and I, we were doing a show here last fall. We got flashed.
They did a lot.
With what?
Yeah, it was
you
nice.
Did?
Yeah.
With what? Uppers or lowers?
Uppers.
Oh, okay.
You say checking. Full Monty? What do we got? Back? Side?
So, now you've had it. So in getting to see more, hear more, know more, what's your take on the very kind of disappointing start to the season for Casas? And do you think there's a corner to turn?
Pussyfooting through that? He's not been good.
He's stunk. Okay,
yeah, no, he's
kind of stunk.
It's a lot like 2023, right? Like, and I do think that they talked about some things mechanically, got into some bad habits. I think he is one of those guys, too, that kind of falls into – hey, I'm going to go to my guy in the offseason, and we're going to work on some different things.
Yep.
And I'm going to bring it into the season. Trust me. This is going to work. Trust me all through camp. It's going to, and it's sort of like, okay, when do we step in and say, you're hitting a buck? You know what I mean? Like, we've trusted you for a while, so now let's start doing what we want you to do. So I don't know. I think there was some of that with 2023 and a little bit of it this year as well. So I think he's looked better, I guess, recently. So hopefully he can kind of continue because they need him. They need that guy in the middle of the order. I mean, with the potential he has, they need him to start swinging.
Can't have three dingers and hit a buck 85 first. I'm sorry. Like, it's kind of drag. It's one of the elements that is dragging the offense, an offense that we have seen that when it breaks out or gets hot, it's dynamic.
The guy who's supposed to hit 40 and 120.
Yeah.
Yeah, or at least give me 30, like, out of bed. Like, he's – and Devers was the other one. You know, it was like, you're not going to have a great offense if Devers hitting second and Costas hitting fourth, like, aren't doing anything and striking out every time.
Right.
So, Devers has been better. Because for some reason, they keep throwing him a lot of off speed. I still want to see him hit velocity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Costas has looked a little bit better, too. I'm just waiting for him to take off.
How are we feeling about the pitching staff? Because it's like, obviously, your
hit or miss.
The pig. Yeah, the pig has been good.
Yeah, he's been
good.
I don't even know if I put him in the pig category.
Oh.
But he's been
de-pigged?
No, he's been very good. Like, pig is a special category.
And he hasn't been
He's been very good. And I think he'll even admit it. He's very good. Pig is, you know, swing and miss up the Keista.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and he's been very good. Yeah. Very good. But
six and a half the other night.
I'm waiting
six.
For it. It's
he didn't
coming.
Get seven.
I'm
I can tell you that much.
Yeah, it's
lost
coming.
My over.
Inconsistent.
Walker Buehler.
Yeah.
So we were starting to feel good about him, and now you got this shoulder thing. You know more, so anything I should be concerned
I
with?
I don't, actually. I wasn't on the trip, but it just didn't bounce back from what I was told to. But
yeah.
Hopefully, you know, we'll see what happens. Hopefully it's not that long. That's always been the problem with him. You know, like, I think he said 30-plus starts maybe twice in his career.
Yeah.
And you're like, just keep throwing the ball, keep him healthy. With a lot of these guys, just keep him healthy. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. He's going to look great one day, hopefully really good for three or four. He's going to have a stinker, whatever. But now the injury is a concern.
Because at their best, they're really good. Like, if Bayo's at his best, if Giolito's at his best, they're really good. If just Walker Buehler's on IL,
That's what
but at, no, I think at their best, they're a really good rotation.
Can be, yes.
And then if three of them are on the DL and we're watching Sean Newcomb and Hunter
Dobbins.
And Dickie Fitz.
Right. Like, then you're not a great rotation.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Fitz did a great job before he got hurt. That's another one we'll see. I think Dobbins is going tomorrow. I know the offense loves it when he's on the mound because they score like 12, 14 runs.
Yeah, he's just one of those guys.
I don't know.
They just respond for
him. Was it 18 and 13 or something for him? Yeah, so
beautiful.
Parents were happy too.
Mm. It's inconsistent. Like, you look at the last road trip, the starting pitching was very, very good, except for the first inning where Tanner Houck gave up a 3-0 lead right away.
Right.
And then he came back and was really good the other day. The bullpen was lights out for like five games, gave up one earned run, and then your two best, Whitlock and Slayton, kind of give it up. So it's like in back-to-back, it's going to happen. Both those guys were on a streak. They were lights out. So it's just everyone's contributing. You know, your Gold Glover misplays a ball in the right field. You know, your Gold Glover at third has made some errors earlier in the year. Your best hitter struck out for the first 2 weeks of the season. Like, Duran wasn't hot early on. So it's like there's always like someone you're counting on, like, makes just this drastic mistake that you're like, where'd that come from? Well, it's baseball. It happens, but it's just happening too much.
I learned this from you TV guys. You get time to stick around for another short segment?
Yeah.
I'm putting you on the spot here on the air.
Yeah.
I can be an a-hole and say, no, I got to leave.
Yeah, no problem.
I still haven't had a chance to ask you about St. Bregman yet.
All right, St. Bregman, more Lou Maloney up next here on WEEI Afternoons. Going to stick around for another segment. Appreciate it, and I want you to stick around too.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
What are you noticing about the team now?
I think I know more now.
Man that knows everything.
Lou Maloney.
More.
He knows more.
More.
Yeah, he didn't say everything. He knows more.
I know more.
Which means more than you, more than me.
That's easy.
More than Cora?
Like, think about it. You know, you guys talk football like every Monday. Like, if you did the game, don't you think that you would kind of have some insight? Maybe, I don't know. Like,
maybe a little bit.
We do have insight. I don't care for the implication of that comment.
We hear some things. We don't hear as many things by being around the team as often.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
it's different.
Yeah.
That's some Joe Milton stuff I want to talk about with you later.
Ooh, yeah, we'll get to that.
But we got Lou Maloney here, formerly of WEEI Afternoons, Middays, does it all, broadcast, and now he's a TV superstar with dark hair and a gray chin and a good tan.
Looking TV ready, baby.
Rested.
And you know what?
It's out of Tampa last
doesn't
week.
Have to work. Doesn't have to work all 162 just enough, so he makes sure he gets some time down in Marsh Vegas.
There you go.
Hanging with the kiddo.
Are you still coaching?
Yes. Not right now. It's high school season, but in the summer, a little bit here and there when I can make it.
Plus, you got your elbow. I listen to the commercials. Your elbow feels good, so you're throwing BP.
Threw BP last night. He won some extra hacks.
All right, so before I get into the Bregman one, here's the question I thought of during the break. We'll see what you think about this. What do you think happens first?
Mm.
Anthony gets called up, or the Sox trade for another veteran to help all these young kids along?
I think Anthony gets called up first.
Yeah.
Because what you're talking about to me is still like end of July.
Yeah, because it's Bregman.
I don't think
and
it goes that far.
It's really, they're really, like, it's Bregman is the veteran in the room. I know Devers is as well, but he's not a vocal leader. He doesn't pipe up. He's not a, he doesn't guide.
We were talking about it like a little bit in the break, and it's like, it does, I get it. And it's, you know, it's come off as like, ah, you're homer, and they're giving him excuses. The reality is like last year they had so many young kids that got a lot of experience, and they showed that they're very talented, inconsistent, but talented. The reality is they're still young and inexperienced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, got a rookie behind a dish. You know, Casas is still young. You know,
and looks inexperienced.
Yeah, Campbell is at second. Like Abreu is year two. Rafael is year two. Duran's year three, and there's inconsistencies there with him. So it's still like it's still this young. You're relying on Slayton year two. Weissert is out there. Zach Kelly now he's down. So it's like you're looking for you know somebody else like that, like an impact veteran.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you still have enough talent. Don't get me wrong. You have enough talent that you should not be 17 and 16.
Yeah.
You absolutely should be a playoff team. You know, but with it, early on in the year, it just comes some bumps and inconsistencies, and that's what you're seeing now.
So there, I remember you said something like hope is now expectation.
Yeah.
Early part of the season. Like, you used to have hopes. Now you expect to be good.
Yes.
And there's some guys, I listened to Breslow, the front office report on the Greg Hill show yesterday, and he was talking about, when you get to the third of the way through the season, that's where you start to say, these guys are who they are. This is how we now we start thinking about changes we need to make. For me, the first person that jumps out, the first position that jumps out for me is first base, is Tristan Casas. He's not hitting. He's not great defensively. He's been bad more often than good the last 3 years, basically. Like, he lives in people's minds off the end of one season. I keep comparing it to Phil Plantier. I fell in love with Phil Plantier. I thought he was the next great power hitter.
Yeah.
He wasn't. And I don't think Tristan Casas, you know, like, is he the next Bobby Dalbec? Is he just a guy that isn't really good enough? And what do they do at first base? People yelled at me when I brought up the idea. A birdie told me that Devers still takes ground balls. And I was like, well, then Alex Cora, is that so he can play some first base? And he said no.
Yeah, he
should I believe him?
Straight up no, huh?
He said straight up no. Yeah. Did he, I believe
did he,
him?
Did he put, like, not at this time?
No, he said, in case of an emergency, that's why he's taking ground balls. Well, but at what
as
point?
As of right now.
He didn't. I don't believe he said as of right now, because to me, you're going down emergency road where you don't have a first baseman.
Yeah, see, I would say this. So, first off, you're right. A third of the, you evaluate the first third, then you search what the holes are, and then you go with the last third.
Yeah.
Right? Like, after you acquire something. So, we're still in that evaluation. And if you're evaluating center, you know, looking for some offensive. You know, from Rafael adjustments.
Yep.
I think you're evaluating first base. You're evaluating catcher. You're just evaluating right now. And again, it's like Casas is sort of like go back to that rookie year. Like, he was better in May. He wasn't great in May. He was better in May, though. And you're like, okay, we're going to stick with it. It's quality at bats. And then blew up in June.
Mm-hmm.
June, July, and August blew up for 3 months. So I still think you're in that evaluation phase. Is Rafi the backup first baseman? Personally, I like to think so. Yeah, he should be. Like, I want him taking ground balls there. And I don't know that, you know, they don't, if they don't want him to right now, if they want to get him custom to DH and then eventually maybe start taking some. My thing is start working at it.
Mm-hmm.
So if something happens at the end of May or June, he's been working at it for a month.
But doesn't it take two to tango? He's got to want to and be willing to do it.
Yeah, and I don't know that.
Did he say no?
I don't know that, because I would think that he would want to be back on the field a little bit. His boy Vlad's over there at first. He went from third to first.
Yep.
I think he'd want to be on the field a little bit once in a while, whatever. I don't know. The thing is, I think we talked about it in the air one time. Obi had asked me about it, and I just said, you've pretty much got positions all over the field like covered in case something happens. Yeah. Anything happens to an infielder, Marcelo's there. Anything happens to an outfielder, Anthony's there. You're a little bit weak in catching right now. There's no question about it, but Wong's going to be back soon. If something were to seriously happen at first, say, or third, it's baseball. Anything could happen. You can get hit by a pitch. You can get drilled. You can tweak this, tweak that. You know, you got Romy Gonzalez, who I think plays a role. You know, like, he's a good player. Matchup guys against lefties, maybe some righties. But is he an everyday guy? To me, Rafi's the everyday guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get the sort of like the guy that's been MIA a little bit, Yoshida.
Yep. Oh, my God. The talk about the forgotten. My God. I mean, the Red Sox have
20 million to do.
It's
what?
Funny. Everybody forgets about him. We're like,
he's the new. He's like, he's Japanese Ruzne Castillo at this point.
That is what he is.
Honestly. And
except he's in Florida, not Pawtucket, right?
But he's really good, too. Like, he's good. He's not maybe what everybody wants, but. The dude's been hitting 285 for 2 years in the big leagues, like 12, 15 homers. Like, Plus, he's got the best form running in the league. Like
his running is up.
He's a good player. Like, yeah. He's a good hitter.
They got all these guys like that. You know, David Hamilton, he's a good sub. Gonzalez and Ref Snyder. Yeah. Like, that's great. I mean, that's great. They get a bunch of really good guys that are good subs. But I need more at the pro level. So I'll sort of get you out on this. What's the most impressive thing to date about Alex Bregman?
Honestly, it's kind of everything.
How much time you got?
Yeah.
No, like I was expecting big things from him, but he has exceeded, you know, like expectations. First off, I think this is like a really good start for him. Last year, he didn't have a good start at all.
Yeah.
Although early in the year, it was funny because everyone's like, he's off to a great start. He's hitting like 295. And I'm like, he went 9-for-10 with 3 homers and 10 RBIs in 2 games. And other than that, he was hitting 210 with a homer and 6. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like for the first 3 weeks, it was really 2 ball games. Since then, like everything is barreled. Everything is driven. Like, he doesn't swing. Yeah, you know, and that's one thing I like about him. Like, swing less. He swings like 40% of the time. You know, guys like Story's 57. Rafael is 62. Like, he doesn't swing. You have to throw him a strike or he doesn't swing. And when you do throw him a strike, he barrels it. And defensively, I know he's got 5 errors. I don't put all of those on him. His range to his left is already saving hits everywhere. And I just think his presence, like, it's, I didn't think he was this good. I'll say that. Wow. I did not think he was this good of a player, like to be around it every day.
That's Lou Maloney. He is a TV superstar now. He's the best color man in baseball, in my opinion. Brings joy to the broadcast as long as the team does their job and makes it fun.
Yeah, we have some fun.
Scoring runs, pitching, doing those types of things.
Hey, yo.
Appreciate you joining us up next here on WEEI Afternoons. We're going to talk a little bit about the Boston Celtics. We know who they're playing now. We know who their owner is going to be. But do we really know what their future holds? We'll delve into that next here on WEEI Afternoons.